Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. Yeah, I know I said Matthew. Genesis 25. I couldn't correct it while I was drinking. All right. Genesis chapter 25, verse 1. Hear now the inspired, infallible, and inerrant word of God. Then again Abraham took a wife, and her name was Keturah. And she bare him Zimran, and Jokshan, and Medan, and Midian, and Ishbak, and Shuah. And Jokshan begot Sheba, and Dedan. And the sons of Dedan were Ashurim, and Letushim, and Leumim. And the sons of Midian, Ephah, and Epher, and Hanoch, and Abidah, and Eldaah. All these were the children of Keturah. And Abraham gave all that he had unto Isaac. But unto the sons of the concubines, which Abraham had, Abraham gave gifts, and sent them away from Isaac his son, while he yet lived, eastward, into the east country. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, 175 years. And then Abraham gave up the ghost, and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. And his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah, in the field of Ephron, the son of Zohar the Hittite, which is before Mamre, the field which Abraham purchased of the sons of Heth. There was Abraham buried, and Sarah his wife. And it came to pass, after the death of Abraham, that God blessed his son Isaac. And Isaac dwelt by the well Lahai Roi. And these are the generations of Ishmael, Abraham's son, whom Hagar the Egyptian, Sarah's handmaid, bare unto Abraham. And these are the names of the sons of Ishmael by their names, according to their generations. The firstborn of Ishmael, Nebaioth, and Kedar, and Abdil, and Mibsam, and Mishma, and Duma, and Masa, Hadar, and Tima, Jetur, Naphish, and Kedemah. These are the sons of Ishmael. These are their names, by their towns, and by their castles, 12 princes, according to their nations. And these are the years of the life of Ishmael, 137 years, and he gave up the ghost and died, and was gathered unto his people. And they dwelt from Havilah unto Shur, that is before Egypt, as thou goest toward Assyria. And he died in the presence of all his brethren. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, "If it be so, why am I thus?" And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, "Two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels, and the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger." And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over, like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau, because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore his name Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. If there was ever a chapter in Scripture that was designed to point up the antithesis, it is this chapter. This chapter is replete with the understanding of the antithetical nature of those who are God's people and those who are not God's people. First of all, we note the separation between Isaac and the other sons of Abraham. Isaac got the inheritance in the land. He dwelt where? By the well of Lahai Roi. I'm trying to preserve at least a modicum of Hebrew pronunciation there. Lahai Roi, the well of seeing, the well of provision. That's where he dwelt. The others, were they good guys? Well, we suppose they were. But they were not the covenant child. And so Abraham gave them gifts and sent them away. The next point of the antithesis that we see is the separation between Isaac and Ishmael. Was Isaac a great prince? Yeah. 12 sons came from him that were great princes as well. However, did they dwell in the land of promise with Isaac? No. They were pressed out of the land of promise. Ishmael went to his own place. Isaac's place was in the land of promise. Then we have the birth of Jacob and Esau. And if there were ever two different sons that were twins, I don't know who would be more different as sons that were twins than Jacob and Esau. But notice, it is the same that we saw in the earlier passage in Matthew that we read. Isaac comes from Abraham's loins. So do the other sons. And yet there's a separation between them. Ishmael comes from Abraham's loins, as well as Isaac, and yet there's a separation between them. Jacob and Esau have the same father and mother. They are twins. Everything about them is the same, except one is elect and one is reprobate. There are two humanities here being played out before us in Genesis chapter 25. And so we must understand there that that they are not all Israel that are of Israel. When Paul would set out the teaching of election in Scripture in chapters, it's hard to separate them, but chapters 4 through 11, if you will, of Romans. He's going to say, not every son of Abraham is a true son of God. In fact, here's a couple of sons of Abraham, Jacob and Esau. Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hated. Before the children were born, not having done anything either good or bad, that the purpose of God in election might stand, it was said to her, the elder shall serve the younger. That's how Paul puts it out of Romans chapter 9. The elder shall serve the younger, not because the elder is a bad guy, although he was. But the elder shall serve the younger because God has chosen the younger and rejected the elder from the foundation of the world before the children are born either having done anything good or bad. Yes, we are Calvinists. Yes, we support that doctrine, that biblical doctrine of eternal election. Yes, we will not brook with those who will say that God is the responder rather than the initiator. If He is the responder, then my brothers and sisters, He has ceased to be God. Rather, you are God, if God must respond to you. Rather than all of that, the Scriptures are clear that from the beginning, here in Genesis chapter 25, but even long before that, at the statement of the proto-evangelium, when there was but one family, two people upon the face of the earth, God said to them, there will be a seed of the woman and a seed of the serpent. And so we see here in Genesis chapter 25 the playing out of the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. What do you think happened in the household of Isaac? Do you think Isaac was a faithful man? I do. I think if you follow the narrative in Genesis, what you'll find is that Isaac was indeed a faithful man. So do you think then, Isaac being a faithful man, because he was the son of his father Abraham, who in Genesis 18, the Lord said, "For I know him, that he will command his children after him, that they will keep all the ways of the Lord." Isaac was one of those children, especially the child of promise. So you think Isaac received instruction from Abraham as to his birthright? You bet. Do you think Ishmael received that instruction? He probably received it, but he received it that it belonged to Isaac. Do you think Isaac talked to his sons Jacob and Esau about the birthright? Oh, you bet. You bet Isaac is a covenant man. Isaac is a man who we will see in the next chapter. His life parallels the life of his father Abraham. That the same blessings and treks that Abraham took, Isaac also took. That the same blessings that Abraham enjoyed, Isaac also enjoyed. That the same protection Abraham enjoyed, Isaac enjoyed. That the same wells that Abraham enjoyed, Isaac enjoyed. We will see Isaac to be a faithful man, commanding his children after him. And so when he commanded Jacob and Esau concerning their birthright, Jacob wanted it so much that he would bring it up with his brother Esau. And Esau didn't want it so much that he was willing to give it up. Doesn't it strike you as strange that when Esau comes in from the field and desires a bowl of pottage, whatever you want to call it, vegetable soup, that the first thing that springs from Jacob's lips is what? Sell me your birthright. That's the most precious thing you have. He didn't say, give me your coat, give me your cattle. He didn't say anything but give me your birthright, because Jacob was a plain man, a contemplative man, dwelling in tents. Esau was the hunter in the field. He was an earthy man. And so he came in one day. Let me conjecture a little bit with you here. He came in empty-handed one day from his hunt. Maybe my strength is not all I need. And so he asks Jacob for that bowl of pottage. And the first thing on Jacob's mind is, oh, the birthright is in play. And so he asks for the birthright. Not because he is a supplanter in that way, in a sneaky sort of way, but because he would supplant his brother Esau, because the birthright, while not precious to Esau, was indeed precious to Jacob. And so all of that training and all of that understanding and all of that teaching from their father and all that Isaac, and we know from the passage that Isaac favored Esau, but Rebekah favored Jacob. We know that. It's clear from the passage. So it is not that Esau received anything less from his father, any less teaching, any less of the blessing, any less of an understanding of the blessedness of the covenant. No, he didn't receive anything less from his father. If anything, he received the more, but it was Jacob that desired the birthright. And you will see this in Scripture as we pursue. You will see more and more that it is not often the firstborn that receives the birthright, but the secondborn. And I have often wondered if that was the Lord telling us that it was not necessarily the children of Abraham by birth, but that second set of folks, the children of Abraham by faith, that would receive the birthright. I wouldn't be dogmatic on that. But I would point up to you that over and again in Scripture we do see the first child being passed over that the second may have sway. And I put it to you that the church, as considered in the new covenant, is that second child. That second child that receives the fullness of the blessing. Because it is, and that if there were those in the first covenant that received that blessing, they received that blessing because of the blessedness of the second set of children, right? In other words, those that were saved under the time of the old covenant were saved by the teaching, by the accomplishments of the new covenant, weren't they? So then Esau, it says, despised his birthright. All right, so there's the passage. Now let's apply it. Every preacher loves to make this application. Here's the application. Don't despise your birthright. Don't despise your birthright. Children, those of you who have been baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, don't despise that birthright. Don't despise the fact that the Lord has caused you to be born in the bosom of the church. He has caused you to be here this day. Did you choose the family into which you were born? No. And yet the Lord did. Don't despise your birthright. Understand the great blessedness that belongs to everyone that is born within the bosom of the church. You are not the children of the heathen. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you despise your birthright, you will be cast out as Esau was cast out. Don't despise your birthright. Those of us who are grown, we also have a birthright. We also have an inheritance. Don't let the cares of the world rise up and choke out the blessedness of the birthright. Don't let the heat and scorching sun of persecution choke out the birthright, wither it away. You know I'm referring to Matthew 13. Don't despise your birthright, brothers and sisters. It is a precious thing to be even attached to the church. Oh, the great blessedness of the visible church. The wonderful blessing of being able to gather before the Lord with others of like faith, to have the ordinances of God for the good of our souls, for the salvation of our souls in our midst. Don't despise your birthright. Let's stand and continue praising the Lord.